Way After Work, the podcast.
So no one told you life was gonna be this way.
Your job's a joke, you broke your love life's steal away.
It's like you're always stuck in second gear.
When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year, but
I'll be there for you.
When your friend starts to call,
well, I'll be there for you.
Like I've been there before,
I'll be there for you.
'Cause you're there for me.
Welcome to another English episode from We After Work, or how Jay would say it, like in proper German.
We are Feierabend.
Perfect.
The podcast.
You know him probably from a few episodes when we recorded an episode in Lisbon and in Manchester.
Manchester, yeah.
And now we're here in London and with
a special guest. Yeah. Introduce yourself.
A special guest.
Hi, I'm Thea. I'm Jay's sister. If Jay is a guest on the podcast.
Yeah, we have a sister like involved.
Yes. And we're drinking together now, like the yellow tail.
Merlot.
Mm-hmm. That's our drink of the evening. So
I'm not drinking.
Cheers to that.
We've also had like many drinks of the evening. Yes. So we've had unicorn gin.
Cheers.
We had some. Oh my gosh, we had German. We had German beer. Mm-hmm. We saw German sausage.
Oh yeah,
it's so been many a German very things. German day today.
In London. No.
Yeah.
I mean. And it's, oh my God, look at that time. It's 4:30
on a Saturday.
3:30, sorry, German time. On a Saturday night. And yeah, we are like sitting here in your beautiful apartment. And
I don't know, beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Very like cozy and like a lot of nice paintings on the wall.
Thank you to Jane.
Oh, like, well, actually, like we have a picture of Danny. So we've got a picture of Danny, a picture of me, my brother and my sister, a picture of me with Mickey Mouse.
A picture of a dog who's also Danny.
Yeah, so Danny's like pride of place.
Oh, your dog is called Danny or what?
No, my dog is called Bobby.
No, that was a roof. Yeah, yeah.
But we have like Danny, we have a big picture of Danny on our wall.
Amazing.
From her graduation. Oh, no, not graduation, presentation.
Presentation, yes. 1 year ago, yeah, we graduated in Roehampton. Now you're studying there.
Yeah.
Also film and screen cultures.
Film and screen cultures.
And so how is that going?
How is it going so far?
It's a big jump because for my BA I studied drama and performance. So now I was just like, I'm going to just start to do film studies now. And so everyone on my BA is just like, you're a traitor. What are you doing?
And a lot more like essays.
A lot of essays.
A lot of writing.
A lot of writing.
And it's not more or less the same?
No, absolutely not. Like I was saying earlier about how when I was doing my BA, it was all like, oh my God, I have to write 1,000 words about play. And now I'm just like, oh, I have to write 5,000 words.
About like one film.
About a specific scene in one film.
Yeah, like the beginning of one film that I've only seen once. And then I have to write an essay about it.
5,000 words, how many pages is that? Like more or less?
Five.
It's a lot. Really. Ten pages.
It depends. With referencing, you're like banging it out.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I didn't ever think about it. Well, and you must know because you did it. So
yeah. I did a video essay. Like in the end, like my master's thesis was I could either
Leonardo DiCaprio
between a video essay.
It was a meme about Leonardo DiCaprio. I've seen it. Like I know what it is.
The thing is, we had a class doing a meme that was one of our tasks, and it was a really kind of stupid like task because it really depends if you like it or find it funny or not.
Yeah.
And like I did a meme about Leonardo DiCaprio.
I remember it. We went to a radio show and we banged it out. We were like, look at these memes. Look at these memes on YouTube. Look at these memes.
And I said Leonardo DiCaprio as a dog and something like this. You didn't say Leonardo DiCaprio was a dog.
You said Leonardo DiCaprio wanted an Oscar.
But the Oscar was a dog.
And the Oscar was a dog. You didn't say Leonardo DiCaprio was a dog.
More or less in the end. Was it what I actually wanted to say? Yeah. But so that was not my master's thesis. But I chose to do a video essay. And you chose to write an essay. And... Yeah, that was a better chance.
What is your meme?
Yeah.
I feel like this is just like an interview.
Yeah,
My meme I've decided, which I still need to make, is due on Friday, is just moments in horror films where like the final girls are talking on the phone to the killer, but I've decided that the killer is Kermit the Frog.
Why?
Yeah, interesting.
Hot take. I kind of wanted to talk about how we trivialize the sufferings of women and kind of how we diminish the dangers that women go through and kind of how that translates into like
women in that particular genre or like women
in general, but mostly like focusing on how we trivialize the experiences of women in the horror genre.
This opens up. Did you see You on Netflix?
Yes.
So interested in this. What do we think?
That's another like entire essay.
I could not. I loved it. I thought it was amazing.
I liked it.
I got it.
I could
not work out if it was feminist, if it was anti-feminist, if it was. I could not. What did you think? I could not pick it apart.
Anti-feminist. Really, because it showed all of the women like in their worst way. No,
true.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you see it in a good way? Like, okay, we have to explain actually the series before.
Oh, yes.
Maybe you can.
Maybe your listeners haven't seen it. It's Penn Badgley, very very handsome Penn Badgley
from Gossip Girl.
Dan Humphries. And he stalks a young writer, a young female writer. And the series is about him maybe pursuing her, following her.
Mm-hmm. It's important that he positions himself as like the nice guy.
Yes, he's like a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know?
I found it so difficult. I loved it. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it.
Kept me coming back.
But I could not work out if it was like a weirdly feminist text where...
I mean, like, the writer is a woman.
But was she saying like, actually men are dicks? And
well, yeah, for sure.
I couldn't work it out. I loved it, and then I hated it, and I loved it.
And you wrote a really nice essay online about this, and she retweeted your post, like
the
writer of the series. Mm. Crazy. And why did she retweet it? Or what did she say about
your... She actually messaged me, and she said, like, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Like... one of the problems I think with the show was that young girls were really like loving Joe
for good reason,
and they were like, oh, he's so handsome, I really like him. And honestly, it was very difficult for me because I struggle with that. Like, I feel like I could have been a victim of Joe. Like, I do think he's really handsome. Like, there is a part of me that would have kind of acquiesced to him. And she said, oh, you understood it was about, like, actually this is a show about women's pain. And about how women writers have been taken over by men. And, like, a lot of, like, men... Like, one of my favourite novels of all time, I will never take it, is The Great Gatsby. I love The Great Gatsby. I've seen it live. I've seen the ballet. I've seen the movies. I have seen it in immersive theatre, but actually, I don't want to speak out of turn. Can I be super controversial on your podcast?
No. Yes, of course.
Okay. actually maybe Zelda Fitzgerald wrote quite a lot of it. So a lot of it was maybe written by a woman. And we never, in literary history, in English literature, we never talk about that. And actually, I think most of it was written by a woman. No, that's not fair. Let me ameliorate
that. It probably was.
Zelda Fitzgerald wrote somewhat, quite of, little, a lot, maybe a little bit. I don't know what happened. But she wrote some of Great Gatsby. And so you, I think, have this interesting thing that was like, a lot of women's work has been appreciated and accepted as men's work. And I thought you did that very well.
Yeah.
It sort of said the only way that she could have become famous, spoiler alert, was by dying. The only way that she was going to get a book published was by being punished.
What do you think, Thea? Was it like a feminist, like that series, or anti-feminist?
I really value the voices of women, especially like because it's female author, like largely female directed. I could understand a lot of female input in the show, so I do understand and respect like the nuanced take that women have on these kind of stories. It is complex because Beck is like such a...
But she's a difficult person to lie.
She's a really difficult character. And then like the rest of the female characters are so one note.
But
and,
I think an interesting... I don't mean to cut you off, but an interesting counterpoint that you know much more about than me is American Psycho.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And I think...
But how did you come up with this comparison? Like why American Psycho?
It felt to me a direct...
Yeah,
it felt to me like a direct conversation. Kind
of, well, like, I'm writing an entire essay about this, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
true.
About how the figurehead of, like, the attractive psychopath has, like, gone through Hollywood. So,
like, sociopath being attractive.
So, I mean, like, in the 30s, we had Dracula, and now, 2019, we have Joe. And so...
And also what happens in, what's the difference between Dracula, like this attractive man who like preys on women.
And so like Patrick Bateman is just kind of the 80s version of Joe, essentially.
But isn't it also like Christian Grey or like...
Like this attractive man who's like appealing to women.
Got money.
He has money and also he's sensitive.
Sensitive and like kind of like good in bed but not really.
Or also what is the movie called again with the vampires... vampires and like oh my god
the Lost Boys
the famous ones with Kristen
Kristen Stewart,
isn't that the same again?
It's the same thing. Like,
sorry, and what was yours?
Oh, like, well, she's talking about Interview with the Vampire, which is her favorite film.
Another great example.
Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise.
Interview with the Vampire is very different.
I think Twilight, actually, this might not be interesting to your listeners because we're talking about. The only thing, like, this is what we study in university. Like, it might not be. But I do think Twilight is this interesting thing about, like, this kind of... I remember reading Twilight on the bus going to college and being, like, literally turned on. Like, I remember thinking it was the sexiest thing. Like, they can't have sex. And there's an interesting Mormonism there.
Milkman, like, I love Phantom of the Opera.
Thea is a huge fan of the opera.
Me too.
It's a very different... Especially one that, like, the idea of sex was removed from the entire situation. Yes. It's very, like, it's much more romantic.
It's almost like we love each
because
other.
Because it's forbidden.
But we can't sex
forbidden.
Touch.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh.
And as soon as it gets, like, into the sexual thing, I think it's not.
It's not so
sexy anymore.
Yeah, and it's like over, like, over.
I almost think that it gets kind of insidious in that sense.
But don't you think? I think you know the term homoerotic.
Oh, for sure.
Which is the idea that like gay males in like Interview with the Vampire, in Phantom, in stuff, is sexy because they're not gay, so they're never going to have the sex.
But they touch each other.
Which is what you just said, like, it's never going to happen. And there is something kind of...
But they look... They like look example?
Like, they look at each other for a little bit
like,
too.
I would guess... Yeah. I would guess... Or almost like Edward and Jacob.
They look at each other for they just a little bit. They look at each other
and they move... And it's not sexual, but there's... Something. That's kind of appealing, that there's never going to be sex. Mm-hmm. Like, this idea that there are these two very powerful people.
And that's why it makes them work.
There's a series about two brothers.
And
what was
Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, I think it's Vampire Diaries. And I know that in China, for example, it's like a huge thing. And there are like a lot of girls fantasizing about.
Boy on boy.
Yeah, them both boy having love. A romantic relationship.
But I think that may be because it won't happen. There is something so powerful about something that won't.
That's true.
You can't. Mm-hmm. I think when you see Phantom, this might be super niche for the audience.
Specifically for the people.
Yeah. Like if me. if you've never been to West End, you maybe never seen Phantom.
You've never seen Phantom.
I can't really give you the plot. There's a woman who is kind of a singer.
She's a singer. Jared Butler is her.
I don't know the plot of Phantom. I've seen it twice, but I don't know the plot. She's a singer. There is a ghost. He takes over the stage.
The ghost / Phantom, and she falls in love with him, and
Then nothing.
And then actually, what is the? No, we won't tell the end. But
nothing.
They can't be together.
And so I think we're always going to be interested in these stories about, like, people who will never...
Mm-hmm. Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet, sure. Yeah. Like, these people who will never get together but are meant to be...
I think there are so many examples, no?
Yeah.
The modern-day Romeo and Juliet is just, like, Dean and
Titanic.
Cass.
Titanic. Yeah, yeah. Like, we love each other, but something's going to get in the way. I guess Twilight is a good one.
Yeah. Are we talking about heteros? Okay.
Well, no, I think homosexual would be an interesting example. I can't think of one.
I mean, like, I don't know. Like,
I can't think of a... Really? I can't think of a gay example of, like...
I mean, like...
Like an official gay example?
Yeah, like of two people.
Because
who
I think non-official, there are, like, a lot of.
A lot, yeah. But I mean, like, is there a gay text? That
no,
very
I don't
few gay texts. I've realized this.
Well, no, maybe like in modern series, yeah, they are. Like in maybe Orange is the New Black or like.
What? Orange is the New Black does the interesting things with lesbianism of like.
Mm-hmm. I don't know enough about that.
Mutations. The one I really like and I think it's really bad, I really like Riverdale.
I think it's really bad
and I think it's terrible. But I like it a lot.
But why? Okay, why?
I'm like, every time I'm like, oh, yeah, I like that. Next. And I think it's very
bad.
But
why? Really, why? Because this story is so, 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 so bad. Really. And they don't think about, like, anything in the story.
I think it's, like, kind of scary and kind of funny. And
the actors are good looking. And that's why we are watching it. Actually,
I don't know that though. I think it's kind of scary. I think it's like a fun horror movie.
In case you didn't know, I'm a weirdo. That's the real horror to me.
So movie is like the main character gets bitten from a bear.
Yeah, and it's like mafia,
Next episode is like he's fine again. Ah, and and he is like a new character because now he has black hair and because so much happened to him. Oh, and he dies in the next second. He dyes his hair again red because he's going to be back this person he has
before. I didn't say.
What is the sense?
I didn't say I think it's a good show. I said, if I'm hungover, I've had too much white wine.
That's it.
I sit in my chair and I watch Riverdale and I'm like, yeah, nice. Everyone looks good.
I dead ass know nothing about Riverdale and nothing about that conversation made sense.
But you did Umbrella. I did do Umbrella.
I did do Umbrella Academy. So this conversation is all over the place.
Give us a rundown.
Umbrella Academy, written by the lead singer for My Chemical Romance.
When I was a young boy, my father took me into the city. That's a nice fact.
I didn't know about this.
Written by the lead singer for My Chemical Romance, who is my babe. it's like about this group of superhero children.
Call me back. Like, was it a comic book?
It was a comic book in like 2008. So it has like all of those like essences of 2005 in them. And it's about like this group of superhero children who were raised by this bastard of a man, and this man dies and they're all adults and they have to come back home and like have his funeral, and then it turns out, oh my god, the world is ending and they need to stop the world from ending.
So it's kind of like an X-Men.
It's kind of like an X-Men, but like a little bit darker and a little bit more Tim Burton-y.
So
very good summary.
Is it like demonstratively Jared Way? Is it demonstrative?
No, I think you watched the trailer and you were like, you don't like things that are subconsciously quirky.
Yeah, I don't like quirk.
It's like, it is quite quirky, but it's, I don't know, like,
the
I
think only you... thing is, I think Ellen Page is, do you know Ellen Page?
Yes, she's amazing.
Stunning, gorgeous.
Maybe this is a spoiler. I think it's offensive that she has to be straight in this. Because not only is, like, I have nothing against gay actors playing straight characters. I don't think that's a bad thing. But she does not look like a straight woman.
I disagree with you.
But she does play it very good.
I disagree with you.
Why?
Yeah. I think Ellen Page has always brought a really important, vital, queer energy to straight characters. I agree, that's important.
Or not straight and also not like
I disagree with you, just the character.
I don't know,
I think she has always brought like this interesting queer energy to
I agree with you.
She's like, this will provide my bias, but she's one of SJP's best friends.
I can see that.
So I don't agree with what you said. Like,
no, I agree with what you're saying.
I don't think she ever...
I agree with what you're saying.
I don't think Juno is bad because she doesn't provide...
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, like, in this particular series, she dresses like a lesbian and she plays like a lesbian, but they give her a straight... romance lead, and
but you're trying to take Juno away from me.
I'm not taking Juno away from you.
Like, I feel like she does the same in Juno.
So you still see her as in her Juno character, or why?
That's on you, babe.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not on me. I think she plays Juno as queer.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you were a lesbian, you would absolutely fall for Michael Cera.
Yeah, there is no greater moment in film history to me than when her dad comes to her and she says, one day you'll be back here and it'll be because of yourself.
Oh, no, I want to watch Juno.
You'll be back here because you want to be.
You'll be back here and you'll be ready.
And you'll be ready.
Oh! Yeah.
But I think that's a queer moment. Like, I don't...
That is a queer moment.
What was Juno about again? Like, she got pregnant.
A teenage girl getting pregnant.
She gets pregnant with her best friend.
And also Jennifer Garner, though.
And then she decided to get the baby?
Yes, and she gives it up to Jennifer Garner.
Ah, yeah.
Who is going through a difficult divorce.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
I can't comment... on Umbrella Academy, but I can say, like, I think it's limiting to suggest that she can only be a lesbian.
No, absolutely. I just think there is a certain energy.
I think it's unrealistic to imagine her as Julia Roberts. She's never going to be Julia Roberts.
I just think there's a certain energy. Like, you wouldn't see Andrew Rannells playing a straight character.
But isn't that boring?
Let's stop. Guys, I think really, that's what I think about this. Because we know that she's a lesbian, you put too much thoughts in her characters in movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
If like you don't know about that, you would not think about that at all. I think.
But don't you think it'd be nice to see a lesbian in a Netflix show? Like, I can't think of another.
There's no one lesbian in a show.
This wasn't a discourse thing. I was just, it's, people just find it funny because she looks, she wears, she wears a button-up shirt all the way to the top.
I haven't seen the show,
So it's literally based on stereotypes.
You're so right. And also, like, I heard that the actor from Gianni Versace, the series, he said, like, I will never play a gay
role anymore. Are you talking about Dan Criss?
Okay, he said, so, because I'm actually straight and I think a lot of gay actors can play much more better than me. And
do you know, well, we have seen him live.
Darren Criss is our favorite person in the world.
Except he's not, because you left literally every time he was singing something original.
We went to see him in Hammersmith. We love Glee. He was Blaine in Glee.
I still don't like Blaine.
And so
How come that he went to Hammersmith?
And like how him did and Lea Michele.
Him and Lea Michele were doing a Glee tour.
Ah, okay, okay. Yeah.
And we were like, Glee, here's what you missed on Glee. Yeah, and they did one of the what did they do? What was like the best one that we were jumping?
When they did Suddenly Seymour. Oh, when they did In the Shallow.
In the shallow.
I remember, like, they were saying, like, we're gonna sing this new song.
And we were like,
literally screaming.
Tell me something, boy. So yeah, we've seen Darren Criss, and I don't know. But what do you think?
Like, him as a straight character playing like a gay character.
I really don't think there's anything.
You're gonna have a better take.
I don't think there's anything. I've never thought there's anything wrong with straight people playing gay characters. Gay people playing straight characters. People are in the closet. Also, people are actors. Like, yes. I think
there's nothing wrong with straight people playing gay characters, as long as we have some gay people playing
straight people.
Straight people.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
Neil Patrick Harris.
You know, we don't have any gay people playing a straight character.
Neil Patrick Harris.
But also, How I Met Your Mother's
been off air for like 3 years.
And also, How I Met Your Mother, was it not like a bit of a joke?
Yeah, it was the joke. Was his character not like,
I'm such a womanizer, I love women, I have sex with every woman? Was that not kind
like,
of a...
Oh, honestly, enough, big old gay.
Kind of, like, me too.
Mm-hmm. But yes. I absolutely, Darren Criss, play every gay character, but give me Andrew Rannells playing straight characters.
I would pay to see that.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if gays are playing straights and straights are playing gay, I'm fan for it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But like, and also what I am so mad about, this will be very gay and nobody in your podcast will want to listen to this.
Please turn off the podcast now.
No, we are having the first gay character in a Disney movie in Jungle Cruise.
Yes.
And Jack Whitehall is playing him. And he's playing a camp gay man. There are so many camp gay men who love Disney, who love Disney World, who go to Disney World. And we have to have a straight man?
I will never understand why Disney has not leapt on Andrew Rannells.
Andrew Rannells, like... Joaquin Booster, Matt Rogers, Bowen Yang. I could give you 50, almost even Catherine Cohen. I would rather, like, why can't you have Jack Whitehall? Really? He gets to be the first gay character in a Disney movie?
He's not camp, he's just
it's
punk.
Not appropriate. Are you telling me that you can go out on any street in any London, in America, anywhere, and say, is there a camp gay man here who wants to be in a Disney movie? Who is an actor? Straight up. We love, like, Mickey means more to me than either of you.
Yeah, you're That's a big fair. Fan of Mickey Mouse. Yes.
But, like, all That's gay fair. People are.
That's
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So why does Jack Whitehall get to do it?
Just go to Mickey's...
I think still a lot of things, like, in film, in the film industry, like, There has to, like, someone has to do something. Mm-hmm. Also, like, I think with, for example, Asian, characters or actors, that a lot of black actors, like, are on the in movies or series, but no Asian actors, another thing. Like,
I mean, we have Scarlett Johansson. Yeah,
you have to change a lot of things.
Oh, that's true. Scarlett Johansson.
Okay. Honestly, what was the movie again? Like, what's it?
Ghost in the Shell. Yeah, Ghost in the Shell.
That was a joke.
I would say Lucy Liu, I think, is fucking killing it. I thought Lucy Liu was amazing.
Yeah.
No, I thought she was amazing in Get It Together on Netflix.
Oh, God, yeah.
I think Lucy Liu is amazing. I would say, I know you guys don't know who I'm talking about, but Bowen Yang, an incredible actor, really funny in Isn't It Romantic? He was the boyfriend of the gay.
Oh, yeah.
Really funny.
That was a really good
one. Matt Rogers, Joaquin Booster. I could name you like 20 funny Asian gay men. That should be in a movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. And more like Asian gay men than, like, I don't know, US gay men or like European gay men.
Well, I listen to podcasts and I can tell you some super funny people, and Hollywood just won't do it. Mm-hmm. And actually,
and when it's like outside of the normal, then it's like super.
But this is when me and Thea really disagree. Special. Like, we really fight about this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Thea is, I don't want to say anti-fat.
Oh, fuck you.
No, how do I say this? You don't like. What? I really think.
Anti-Amy Schumer.
How do I say this?
Okay.
Representative. I really think Isn't It Romantic is an important film.
I don't disagree with you. I'm always going to have a consistent problem that the only way that fat women are represented in comedy is when they're making fools of themselves.
Definitely.
But I don't understand your comment when Sandra Bullock is the same.
I know. Julia Roberts is the same. I know, but also Julia Roberts is in, like, she's a classy woman.
But she falls over and...
But also there are films where she's, like, a classy woman, and Sandra Bullock is in films where she's a classy woman, and Melissa McCarthy has been in Would I Lie to You, where she is a classy woman.
If I had a daughter of size, I really would like her to see Amy Schumer and Rebel Wilson.
For sure.
Because I don't think the joke was ever that they fell over.
I am a woman of size.
Yeah, you are a woman of size.
A woman of size.
You are the fattest woman in town.
Of course.
So,
of course. The moment you date me. It's frustrating to see the only representation that you have on the screen as somebody who is made a fool of.
And you felt that isn't It Romantic did that?
No, I was surprised, actually. Like, there was very little of Rebel Wilson falling over.
And also, like, I think... I think fat men are always representing as, like, the nice, funny, nice men who are so attractive because of that, like, in that Will Smith movie, Hitch, the date doctor. And also, like, on the other side, women are always represented as the stupid,
funny, nice, funny women.
I can tell us.
This is very disrespectful for me because I'm the only man in the room.
Skinny legend.
And I'm trying to take over what women have to say, and that's not appropriate or great.
But.
Yes.
I really think Eiffel Pretty has something to say.
It was a nice film.
And I think Isn't It Romantic has something to say. She doesn't fall in love with a man.
That's true. Which movie?
Isn't It Romantic on Netflix? It just came out.
Okay. Yes.
And actually,
I haven't watched it, but okay.
I thought it was kind of amazing to have a movie where a woman said, oh, my happy ending is not a man. I really need to get my shit sorted.
It
and
was.
I need to fall in love with myself.
Yeah.
And then I'll find a man.
It was nice.
And I don't like Thea's particular rhetoric.
You know, hey, you are, I watched
Yeah, but you are critical of all romantic comedies where women fall over.
I don't like women falling over.
I agree with you, but I think actually if the ultimate conclusion is that they kind of are like, I'm not going to fall over anymore.
For sure.
Is kind of a positive. I don't like... In this house, we have, like, a really boyish energy. And I don't...
Two boys and one girl.
I don't like it. Like, I don't like this idea that, like, we have to watch, like, Tim and Eric or Always Sunny or... Mm-hmm. I don't like that I can't watch Will and Grace. Like, actually, I think women's stories are so funny and cool and vital.
Hey! Like, I watched it with you and I enjoyed it.
Yeah. But I feel like in this particular culture, it's quite, like, mask.
Yeah.
And I don't really like that.
I agree with you.
And then when people say, like, romantic comedies, they're anti-women, I'm like...
I like romantic comedies.
Yeah, if you don't read them properly.
Yeah, but, I mean, you just told us a few examples, and there are, like, I think, double the other, like, examples, like, a lot of things still...
Of course.
Have to change mm-hmm. until, like, it gets on a...
100%.
Yeah.
Of stable course. Level. Absolutely. And,
yeah.
Yeah, everything.
And I'm not saying that fine. Every romantic comedy is a no, bastion of equality.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is they tell stories about women.
True.
And we don't really have that many movies That's that true. Tell stories. The best Oscar winner this year was Green Book. Which was a story about white people telling a story about one black person kind of not. Like, they introduced Green Book at the Oscars and there was, like, all white people on the stage in a movie about a black person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not right. We haven't got it right.
No.
Bohemian Rhapsody... was a story about a man who was gay and died of AIDS. And the movie didn't ever say that he was gay.
No?
No.
So, like...
Really? I didn't know
it
this.
Wasn't right.
He didn't have a boyfriend. He didn't have...
It was, like, a lot of criticism came from... They kind of betrayed his, like... His gay lifestyle as, like... a symptom of the party lifestyle.
Yeah, he was, like, partying and had, like, sex with some men or maybe not.
So that was the excuse.
Yeah,
essentially.
And so, like, are we really going to give people Oscars for actually lying about the past? Like...
Mm. Okay, but the Oscars, I think, for me, it's terrible. Not, like, a really...
No.
To take serious...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Just because terrible...
They don't like to nominate or even, like, give prizes to movies which, like, maybe are a little bit more serious. Mm-hmm.
Or foreign movies.
Serious.
Foreign movies.
I will consistently have beef with the Oscars about never considering horror films.
Never a horror film. Although, Get Out sort of last year.
Yeah, but that was not...
Yeah.
A horror film would never be considered for Best Picture. No. Never again.
Yeah. That's kind of
and I had the feeling
it.
Like they took Get Out because of, let's take, like, something, like, just that one movie.
Yeah,
to
let's...
be some, like, to show the people that we are, like, very open-minded.
And but it's then, just, like,
but let's, no, but let's not get it, like, Best Picture.
Yeah, Best Screenplay.
Like, yeah, Best Screenplay.
Yeah, obviously it was going to win that. No, I will consistently have
it, the I honestly years. Think it's, like, to my detriment in my life.
It's true.
That Scream never won. To me, like, Scream is a perfect film.
Hard agree.
1996. Scream 1996.
Hard agree.
Is the best film of all time.
One of my favourites.
Drew Barrymore gives truly the best supporting actress.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nev Campbell is fucking perfect.
Literally.
For four movies.
Literally.
They never give a horror movie. Hellraiser, incredible.
Yeah.
actually, Night of the Living Dead is one of the greatest films of all time, 1968.
Yeah.
Never nominated for an Oscar. Like,
we don't... We... Horror films never get nominated for, like, makeup, for special effects, never for anything. And we're like, I guess, like, maybe did... What did... Was not Shape even of Water... Drag. Was Shape of Water kind of a horror film?
Stacey... I can't say Stacey because your listeners will know who she is. Okay, Dr. Stacey Abbott. She's written very many books about horror movies. We all know her. Your former lecturer, my dissertation advisor.
My current love of my life.
Yeah. she would say Shape of Water was kind of the first win for horror, but I don't...
It was a win.
Yeah, I don't really even think it was.
Amazing.
I would say I wanted Glenn Close to win, but I thought Olivia Colman was great.
I still think Lady Gaga should win.
Lady Gaga. Oh my god. Okay, so you haven't seen Star Is Born?
I haven't seen, no.
I can't believe it. You would love it. Like, you would love it so much.
I can't believe one man can be so in love with one woman.
But you know, like...
That's, interesting, because how actors fall in love with each other in a movie.
He's so in love with her.
It's not that, I think, like...
Maybe or not.
It's not the movie.
Or maybe people think...
At the Oscars, there's a moment and she's singing and he's singing and she looks at him and there's no way.
And there's a YouTube video existing, like maybe you have to show us later.
Yeah.
There's I have the feeling now. Because like our podcast time is almost over. I like to do another episode with you. Maybe we can continue with that. And yeah, speaking about the number one German tradition on New Year's Eve.
Oh my god, we haven't even talked about that. Yeah. We only discovered dinner for one today. We were talking shit all the time, but we never talked about it.
Because, yes, that's actually a big thing in Germany, but not a big thing at all in England.
No, this was the first, today was the first time I saw it.
Yeah, we watched it before and I was shocked. Because
I never,
you didn't know
and
that?
Also, I also felt like it was like Lucille Ball and Victoria Wood.
Yeah.
It was like very, like
you have to tell about them Hollywood. Both again. Like, yeah. Also from that age, kind of like 40s, more or less.
Yeah. From like Lucille Ball, like eating chocolates and like two soups, like bringing soups to
comedy,
the table.
Really good.
I honestly thought it was so funny, which means it's shit. Because I have I have a really bad sense of humor.
It's true.
Like everyone knows, like my sense of humor my sense of humor is like I've got a pint and I'm like pour it over. Like I have like a bad sense of humor. So if I think it's funny, it means it's bad.
So which German, also means it's good.
Let's German talk about this in the next episode, I would say. And now now we have a reason to say like the song tip for this episode is the Friends. Theme?
Yeah, so do you want to go for it?
What am I doing?
Friends theme tune.
just doing how we did it before.
Go for
presenting.
It.
Presenting. Okay. Like, what is the name of the...
You can... Remembrance.
The Remembrance Friends theme. That shows my age.
Too young.
I'm a baby. So no one told you life was gonna be this way.
You're just a joke, you're broke, your love life's to your way.
It's like you're always stuck in second gear.
When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year, cause
I'll be there for you.
When the rain starts to fall,
I'll be there for you.
Like I've been there before,
I'll be there for you.
Cause you're there for me too.
We After Work, the podcast.